I'm going to start by giving our Candy Bart Award. It's always my privilege to highlight some one of you who's doing just an extraordinary job. And this month, the Candy Bar Award goes to Kurt. And I'd like to read what the management team said about what he had done. He's been overseeing the assist upgrade, which I'm here to tell you went very, very well. There's a few small glitches, but none of them impacted our customers, which is just a perfect thing to have happen. He was the lead on this project and has been extremely persistent and professional in dealing with Steve, who is the upgrader at Assist. And what he said to me off to the side was, "I feel like I'm babysitting," which gets really, really, really dull. He's been dealing with Steve at Assist, Sarah Tech, Olive Technologies, and our entire team. He coordinated the whole, kept the project moving forward, and orchestrated the actual cutover this last weekend, which as of now appears to have gone smoothly. And that's still true. He coordinated all testing, found a way to keep in touch with Steve better than anyone else has before. We have a long history with Steve, who has been our tech person forever. And it was one of those things where he refuses to take calls. So that Kurt managed to get through to him and gently encourage him to keep moving was kudos to him, and kept everyone informed along the way. He really stepped up. We're grateful for everybody who was involved, but thank you particularly to Kurt. Thank you. As Wayne said, I'm going to be talking about what I'm thinking about. When John was at the U.S. Center for World Mission, the president of the company would often bring up things that he was just randomly thinking about. And John always found those to be so interesting. I'm not Dr. Winter, but I do want to talk a little bit about some of the things I've been reading and thinking and thinking about. One of the things right now is, how do babies acquire language? A very interesting topic, isn't it?
That was the first thing that came to mind.
I know. You know, why in the world would that even be important to think about? Studies have shown that the vocabulary that kids have at 3 years of age has impact all the way up to third grade language skills. That's reading, spelling, vocabulary, not math. But we do want to encourage our children to acquire language because it's important for future achievement in school. Luke, if you'd open up that for me. I have a TED video going, and before you start the second, let me introduce it. This is a woman who studies language acquisition in kids. She's found that babies are amazing in acquiring language from 6 to 8 months. And at that point, they are what they consider citizens of the world, which means all babies can pick up every language. At 9 months, that almost magically turns off. At that point, kids get stuck in one particular language, and that's the language they use for the rest of their life. So Luke, please hit that for me.
So listen to two mothers speaking Mother-Reese, the universal language we use when we talk to kids, first in English and then in Japanese.
Okay. I love your big blue eyes, so pretty and nice.
During the production of speech, when babies listen, what they're doing is taking statistics on the language that they hear. And those distributions grow. And what we've learned is that babies are sensitive to the statistics, and the statistics of Japanese and English are very, very different. English has a lot of R's and L's, the distribution shows. And the distribution of Japanese is totally different, where we see a group of intermediate sounds, which is known as the Japanese R. So babies absorb the statistics of the language, and it changes their brains. It changes them from the citizens of the world to the culture-bound listeners that we are. But we as adults are no longer absorbing those statistics. We're governed by the representations in memory that were formed early in development. So what we're seeing here is changing our models of what the critical period is about. We're arguing from a mathematical standpoint that the learning of language material may slow down when our distributions stabilize. It's raising lots of questions about bilingual people. Bilinguals must keep two sets of statistics in mind at once and flip between them. one after the other, depending on who they're speaking to. So we asked ourselves, can the babies take statistics on a brand new language? And we tested this by exposing American babies who'd never heard a second language to Mandarin for the first time during the critical period. We knew that when monolinguals were tested in Taipei and Seattle on the Mandarin sounds, they showed the same pattern. 6 to 8 months, they're totally equivalent. 2 months later, something incredible happens. But the Taiwanese babies are getting better, not the American babies. What we did was expose American babies during this period to Mandarin. It was like having Mandarin relatives come and visit for a month and move into your house and talk to the babies for 12 sessions. Here's what it looked like in the laboratory.
绿色的圈圈，等一下，转一圈，嘿，一圈，再一次，转一圈，二，三。
So what have we done to their little brain? We had to run a control group to make sure that just coming into the laboratory didn't improve your Mandarin skills. So a group of babies came in and listened to English, and we can see from the graph that exposure to English didn't improve their Mandarin. And look what happened to the babies exposed to Mandarin for 12 sessions. They were as good as the babies in Taiwan who'd been listening for 10 and a half months. What it demonstrated is that babies take statistics on a new language. Whatever you put in front of them, they'll take statistics on. But we wondered what role the human being played in this learning exercise. So we ran another group of babies in which the kids were get the same dosage, the same 12 sessions, but over a television set. And another group of babies who had just audio exposure and looked at a teddy bear on the screen. What did we do to their brains? What you see here is the audio result, no learning whatsoever, and the video result. No learning whatsoever. It takes a human being for babies to take their statistics. The social brain is controlling when the babies are taking their statistics. We want to get inside the brain and see this thing.
Okay, now we can stop.
As babies are in front of televisions as opposed to.
And basically, she talks about some of the equipment they did, and they put these babies in machines and test them. It's a fascinating video. Please feel free to watch it on your own time. When I was thinking about how you acquire language, I thought, why in the world do we teach high schoolers language? Because if you see her earlier chart, it's 6 to 8 months, and then it basically falls off the chart. When you're in middle school or junior high, forget it. You can't learn language anymore. That's the premise of this video, anyway. And Janelle said, why did I take Spanish in high school? Well, because I didn't know about this, and we didn't teach you Spanish when you were 6 months old. One takeaway I'd like to take from this video is TV doesn't work. TV learning does not work. I was also reading a particular book called Nurture Shocks, which basically takes a scientific approach to how we even train our children, looks at some of the studies that have been done. And in that book, they talk about the Einstein videos, which are, I've not watched them very often, but for example, they'll have a yellow square that comes up on the screen, and a disembodied voice says, yellow, yellow. And what the book shows is that the baby Einstein videos, which sell at $4.8 million per year, do not work. What babies need, and she mentioned that in her video, they need to look somebody in the eye, they need to see how the lips move, they need to see when words end, they need to understand how sentences flow, and none of that occurs on a disembodied video. And I'm here to tell you that I don't think it works on Sesame Street either. Think, you've got puppets that are moving. There's no lips there. There's no, again, it's almost a disembodied. So if you're using TV to train your children, please stop. What they say is for every hour that a baby watches TV, a child watches TV, they lose 6 to 8 vocabulary words. Scary but true. Let's see. How can this be? And it's because babies are listening for the sound combinations. And that's kind of what she talked about here, that each language has a different way that the sounds come together. And babies need to be able to hear it and see it and express it. They learn the best from a live human teacher. So please, please, please talk to your babies. Seeing the face is what you do. Studies have shown that children that are raised in more robust language homes, and I think I've talked about this in another meeting, develop language skills better. And they talk about that study where welfare families say 600 words to their kids an hour. Working class families do better, they do 900 words an hour. And professional families do 1,500 words an hour, but also combined with more complex sentences. So the speaking does seem to have an impact because in the rich in the families, the and I need to look at my notes because I don't remember it otherwise, the professional families had, the children had a 1,100 word vocabulary base built as opposed to 525 words. But as they're doing more studies on this, it's not enough just to throw a barrage of words at your children. He talks in the book about how he met up with a mom and she was exhausted because she'd just been talking all day because she wanted her child to have those strong vocabulary skills. But what happens is they find that the best way to engage a baby, and we saw it somewhat in this video, where the baby is intently looking at the Mandarin-speaking woman. What you want to do is get your baby's attention and talk about what they're looking at. What they find is there's a cluster of words that go around every sentence. Look, and look at that. And what the babies clue in on is that noun in the middle of the sentence. So for example, you'll say, oh, look at the horse. And one of the first words that babies come up with are the nouns that are in the middle of these much longer sentences. The outer edges of the sentences, they don't do until they're late in their 2 years of age. The nouns are the first ones, mama, dada, dolly. What are the words babies come up with? It's all nouns, and they're in the middle of these clusters. So the key is, according to the studies, is to see what your baby's looking at and respond to that. So for example, if the baby's looking at the fan, you say, oh, look, it's a fan. It's spinning. You're basically encouraging the connection in the baby's brain between the word that they're looking at and the thing they're looking at and combining it with a word. Doesn't seem like rocket science, but it's not something that we're necessarily aware of. They say that toddlers that have parents that are high responders, parents that are aware of what their children are looking at and saying, good job at noticing that, those babies do much, much better than low responders. All babies are, of course, interested in their world. Did you see the babies in the video watching intently the little green toy that the lady held up and thinking, really? That ain't even that very interesting. But you know, the world is a new place for them, and they have to try to take all the information that's coming from around them and somehow work it into a scheme of life. Very interesting when she says that the word basis seems to close at about 9 months. I thought, well, yeah, they have so many other things they need to look at and learn about. You know, let's focus in on these few things and so that we can expand in other arenas. That makes sense to me. Why does this work? To focus in on what kids are listening to. It says that babies learn that voicing is important, not meaningless. When you have a baby, they're making little sounds, coo, coo, ka, ka, ba, ba. And when you respond to them, they go, oh, what I'm saying is important. Makes sense, doesn't it? That if you're responding to them and they find out that when they attempt, they're always going to make more attempts. They found that babies babbling actually has a pattern. It goes from, you know, this pattern, and it builds kind of on itself until it ultimately becomes the language that we can understand. Children also learn to associate an object with words. So what you talk while they're talking or while they're grabbing at different things. Oh, look, you've reached for your doll. Oh, look, you've reached for, and look is one of the words that's the enclosure that you put things in. They did a study, and it's not in this video, but whenever a baby vocalized, the mother either responded with a word or touched the baby. They found that the baby's vocalizing went up dramatically. Just letting the baby know you're listening, you're aware, you're connected with them, all those types of things seems to help babies learn to speak a little more effectively. For example, when a baby coos, you say, oh, really? And they go, coo again. And you go, that is so interesting. And they coo again, and you go, I have never heard anything. And what they find is all of that cooing goes up, and you're just building the vocabulary. You know, I always thought baby ease was silly. But what they say is that baby ease extends the sounds of the words that that babies hear. So you hear more of the vowels, you hear more of the consonants. So there's even a practical reason for why we do baby talk. It's done universally, and obviously it's important to do. Just a couple of caveats. They recommend that you don't take this information and talk at your baby constantly. They say babies' brains need time to process and synthesize and pull all these things together. So do a focused time with them, and then allow them to just process and think about things off together. And another caution that they had was don't try to interpret what the babies are saying. What they found was the babies would make a sound like ba ba when the milk would come out in a glass or whatever, and mom would say, oh, she wants her bottle. She was interpreting what the baby was saying. And what they found was that leads to incredible confusion for the baby because the baby's just making noise. So basically, you just always respond with the correct word, and eventually the kids catch on to it very quickly. As all things, when they talk about vocabulary and word base, it's not a given. There's no guarantees that anything we do. They use the example of adopted children, that they ultimately catch up. But we always want to give our kids every advantage that we can. How do we apply this? I would recommend that if you meet a young child, talk about what they're looking at. And I'd even go so far as to say, be purposeful in that. And I'd like to give an example with my own grandbaby, Natalia. When she'd come over, she was a very small baby, and she'd be getting fussy. I'd pick her up, we'd go around the room, and we'd look at everything in the house. We'd say, stop and look at a picture. Oh, did you know your dad made that? Oh, that's a lion. It has colors in its hair. I mean, she immediately stopped fussing and was very interested in what I was looking at. And I'm here to tell you, she has an incredible vocabulary. We can never believe how many words she's come up with, and it's because there's been so much put into her. Oh, look, here's a hedgehog. Do you know they have spiny, and the conversation isn't even deep, but it's one of those things where babies learn. They have to learn everything. So everything we can put into them can help. Thought it was very interesting, too, as we looked at this video, the Mandarin woman used a book with this baby. And I thought, well, that's because books work. I talked about how I went and took Natalia around her room. In her room, there are no cows and there are no horses. In a book, you can bring all of those to life. You can talk about, this is a cow, it produces milk, lives on grass, it's a great resource, it's a friend to people, whatever you're going to say. Similarly, African animals, think about it. We can't get wildebeest into our home, but through books, we can show those and talk about it. One of the things, and it works more effectively with books, is because they also say you want to be moving or touching or pointing, definitely drawing the kids' attention to whatever's in the book. So with a book, you can point, oh, look, here's a wildebeest. This is a big herd of them. Look, they're running through the African veld. Who knows, whatever you're going to say. And I don't think it's necessarily even super important what we say. We're basically trying to speak into our children vocabulary and interest in their world. As they talk too, I thought, as you're reading a book, the touch aspect is very much a part of reading with babies. You almost always take a baby on your lap, hold the book in front of you, pat them every so often, and that touch, they have found, is critical in having kids acquire language. We want to make sure our kids are engaged as we speak. So you look, you touch, you point, you move on. I can say, too, that it doesn't always work. Sometimes I think I've stretched Natalia beyond her ability. She'll point to something, and I'll go into a very detailed description, and she just glazes over. I think, well, she wasn't ready. But I don't think it's hurt her. It's just one of those, you go, okay, we'll bring that one up again at another point in time. So the point is, find a baby, talk to it, enjoy it, coo to it, read to it, enjoy. Thanks.